see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. There's armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program tonight, the Bible study. Welcome to my Bible study. I welcome you all. This was to be my Bible study, and then one day I realized, hey, wait a minute, I got a network. Huh. I just invite people to my Bible study. That's what I did. That's the purpose of it. It's my Bible study. It's my party. But I invite people to join me as I do it. It's just, that's kind of how I look at it. Tonight, family, I'm going to talk about Sabbath days, holy days, holidays, and so forth, as pertaining to Scripture. Because we got one coming up, big one, actually. A lot is written about Christmas and Easter and so forth. Drew Carey has a presentation of sort about how Christmas is pagan, Easter is pagan, and all that. We know the movie stars are all taken. We know a lot of information coming out that Christmas is pagan holiday. Easter is pagan holiday. See, they're letting it all out now. You notice that? You notice that the elite, the news media, the ones that normally don't say anything about it, are letting it loose now that holidays are pagan. Let me tell you why. Because in it, there's a ritual of religion. It's set up by supposedly Christian. So now if they reveal that these holidays we've all our lives have followed, prepared for, families, movies, all that stuff, presents, Easter bunnies, all this ritual stuff, is now pagan. You're conditioned to move away from pagan, which is Christian holidays. Oh, that's confusion, isn't it? Do you think maybe, just maybe, that that's to discredit what your past has been? So more easily, you'll adapt to a re-spiritualized Roman Catholic doctrine, the New Age movement, that'll discredit what you've always done, is now revealed to be pagan, leading you more toward a humanistic theology of sort, or I should say ideology. Well, that's why. They'll undercut sovereignty, patriotism, religion, finance. The art is totally meaningless. You know, they got art that's just is crazy. Notice the art has changed from any kind of recognizable religious or human type attributes to modernized art. And if people go up to it and they see these weird configurations, and some of them are sexually subjective, suggestive, and other type weird looking things, well, they're told to do that. That's in the Illuminati actual direction in their protocol to do that, but only at a certain time. That time's come. It's called modern art. This is documented. And the science to really teach things that are actually false. You know, to keep changing? Drink 8 glasses of water a day. Oh, you can't drink 8 glasses of water a day. Coffee is good for the heart. Oh, coffee is not good for the heart. They can't make up their mind. What is it? Way, way back in the day. Way back. They were teaching that if you sail toward the edge, you'll fall off. Some people said, no. Some people said, yeah. No, yeah. And old Columbus, Illuminati, said, I'll handle that. My 3 ships. The Pit, the Beans, and the Maria, whatever, I don't know what else, and I'll set sail. His Illuminati is an avatar. He knew exactly where he's going to. Family, everything in our history is based on this Luciferian agenda. Everything. Philosophy, Kant and Socrates, Plato, all these guys are all avatars. Especially Socrates and Plato. To cloud up and muddy religion. Religion itself was designed to hide Jesus. To hide. And to come up with a different doctrine. So different in subtle ways that it really discredits religion. That's what religion was created. Was to discredit religion. That's what religion was for. To hide Jesus. Then let's make up some Bibles. They did. Westcott and Hort. 1875 to 1891, convinced the revision committee they needed to update the Bible. 2 Freemasons? Certainly working for Lucifer, there's no question about that. Going to update the Bibles? I don't think God wasn't behind that. Established the basis for every Bible we got today. And the ones they used were corrupted from origin back in the 3rd century. King James stands alone. A historical account, not because I prefer it. Not because I prefer it. I don't have a preference. It's not a matter of I prefer it. Family, the King James Bible is in fact the only true word by evidence. There's no other way around it. I don't have a preference. It's, well, I prefer the King James over this one, and I sometimes, no, it has nothing to do with that. It is, in fact, the only true word with all the verses in it and properly translated as God guided King James and the 47 translators. That whole Bible, from cover to cover, was guided by God. From Moses, throughout the old prophets, disciples, 1,500 years of God guiding the hands and the heart and the minds, put together at Antioch, hidden throughout the Dark Ages. That's why they called them the Dark Ages. God's word was no longer around. You can't count the Vatican, because their Bible was corrupted. It wasn't God's word, it was Satan's word in Latin. Finally brought out in 1604. Manuscripts, documents, pieces of scriptural, papyri, all kinds of stuff. They pulled them together, and you have the King James Bible. There is no other replacement. So it's not a matter of preference. It's a matter of what is. There's not a theologian in Harvard, anywhere else, can prove otherwise. Not one. Hasn't yet, and will never, until the great falling away takes place. You know God won't be happy about that, but he knows, he told us already. Tonight, Colossians 2, 14 to 17, we're going to talk about. Specifically, Colossians 2, 16. Tonight. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come together and worship you through your holy word. Father, we pray for our brethren. We pray for our families. Lord, we pray for ourselves to give us that wisdom, discernment, and patience. Because sometimes, Lord, we lack it. Lord, to give us opportunities, divine appointments, to exercise, Father, the word of God that, Lord, you'll lead us. Lord, forgive me my sins and my thoughts that sometimes, Father, I get impatient. In short, but Lord, I need help. Lord, hear the prayers of all the others that you hear tonight. Father, guide us with wisdom, discernment of the Holy Word tonight. And Father, to bring an awakening to this country. In the time of any great conflict that is approaching, Lord, to use your holy word, Holy Spirit, to guide those in distress to your Son, Jesus Christ. Because, Father, we know that great day is coming. And, Father, we'll need those words to be able to speak that gospel no matter where we are. Father, these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus, to guide us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Notice that word forever. Notice that word forever. That sure knocks out the Illuminati, don't it? That sure knocks out all this Illuminati plans that they have and Rothschilds and FEMA camps and whatever else, speeding meteorite to Earth. Sunspots, a bipolar Earth, whatever. Ebola. Remember I joke sometimes about Fukushima? Well, now they're bringing back Fukushima. An increase of 50,000% radiation or something in the North American continent. My question is, when you got 900 plus atomic tests in the 50s and 60s, what happened to radiation then? When you got radiation from a man-made event, in Japan, how come they're not dying over there in truckloads? How come we're not reading about it in the news? What's happening? They're all dead over there and there's no information coming out? They're all dead over there in Japan? What happened? What's going on? And yet we get this big influx of radiation in the North American continent. That means all of Japan must be dead. And what about the Nevada tests since 1950 and 60? And then radiation lasts for, generations and generations and generations. What happened? Yeah. How about that? What's going on there? What do you think they're up to? A little hanky-panky? You know what? It's called fear. Holidays were paganism, adopted by the Roman Catholic Church, wrapped in a colorful package to try to bring the pagans and lukewarm Christians under the same bondage. That's the purpose of the royal secret of the third degree Mason. To commit sodomy, or some abomination on a child, or otherwise receive the incarnation of a demon as a result of it. It's about alchemy and possession of a body. That's their royal secret that they'll kill to keep secret, that their fellow Masons don't know about. The royal secret. Pentagon knows it very well. Child Protective Service knows it too, and they provide the children to the CIA. Abominations upon children is a gateway for that individual or that group to receive the manifestation of Lucifer. That makes people uncomfortable to talk about. Makes them fearful to talk about it instead of praying about it, praying against it in the witchcraft that the Pentagon, that the Chatham House, that all these so-called kings and queens of the world practicing on a regular basis. And military leaders at the highest level that are Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars, and so forth. See, it sounds weird when you say that, don't it? But they take a blood oath against you. Look it up right now. The Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars oath. Blood oath. Look it up. Compare it with a Jesuit oath. It's absolutely horrific. A lot of people don't know about that. You so-called generals and CEOs and congressmen and scientists and so forth live a double life. Almost yin and yang. Black and white. No shade in between. The white is doing good deeds to hide the dark. To hide the dark. That's what that means. Colossians 2 verse 8. King James Version. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Man, that's directive. You can get more clear than that. Philosophy, it names it. The scripture names it. Yet the schools teach it. I took philosophy. Logic, the course logic and philosophy is not logical. It's boring. is nonsense. It's chewing gum for the mind. But everybody pretends that they understand it. If you're honest and say, man, I don't have a clue what they're talking about. Oh, you just don't understand. Here, have a joint. I said, I'll give you a joint right here, sucker. Cut four knuckles right there. There's your joint. College back in those days, the 70s, man. I think that's why they smoked, so they could understand philosophy. You know, the reason for the holidays is to focus, you know, I'm going to tell you, down, get right down to it. The reason for the holidays is to focus human energy for the manifestation of fallen angels into this first heaven by alchemy. The purpose of the Tower of Babel was the same thing. Why do you think God destroyed it? If it wasn't a concern of God, why would he destroy a tower? Who cares? But it was a concern because they knew alchemy. They knew the principles of God. They knew the physics, geometry, the real principles through the Freemasons back in the days of Nimrod. They have a small window of opportunity. A small window of opportunity on certain days of the year to have their child sacrifices and sexual rituals to receive their entities for empowerment. There's your empowerment. There's your superpower. Come from demons, not the individual. So their new age is teaching people that this new skill that you've acquired, this new you, is your human development on another level. Oh, God, that's hard to even talk about. It's nonsense. It's a demonic possession is what it is. That they want to tell you it's you that's getting better. No, it's the demon inside you that's taking over your body. And it gives them the opportunity to manifest in this realm as they're trying to do in the Tower of Babel. Your body must be prepared to receive those demons. Because if it doesn't, if it's not prepared by meditation, slow possession, your body will burn up from the inside out. Because your body is not outfitted with its carbon DNA to handle the extra energy by certain entities that come inside you. That's why the royalty today of hybrids are Nephilim. Oh, yeah. Because they have a copper-based DNA where you have a carbon-based DNA pattern. They got copper-based DNA, which just allows them to become possessed by the entities that they are slave to. You got it? You see, that's how it works. So they must have a different DNA pattern than you. That's where the fallen angels intermingle with the daughters of men, the DNA. And they must not be able to marry outside of that family bloodline. If they do, they have to kill that child. One 12 to 15, 11 to 12 years old to 13, 14 years old of the Illuminati, Italian especially, are taken, and at their puberty, sperm is withdrawn from them and put in a vial, maintained, and they might give birth that they won't even know about by in vitro with human women that they'll never know at 10 or 12 years old because it's maintained like a sperm bank. So they'll take women that are either born in captivity or whatever as the womb, which will bear this child with a corrupted DNA. And then that child will be cultured to be a chela. Taken away from that woman at birth. And that's how they do it. So one member of the Breakspear, Orsini, or Medici family, at 10 or 12 years old, gave up his little vial of sperm. Might have 40 or 50 children he'll never know about. But those 40 or 50 children will be placed high up along the way of all different cultures. Oh, yeah, this is a secret they don't want out. John's father, Zacharias, was a priest serving in Jerusalem temple during the course of Abijah. In Luke 1:5, historical calculations indicate that the course of service corresponded to June 13:19 that year. It was during that time of the temple service that Zacharias learned that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a child. Luke 1:8 and 13. And after he completed his service and traveled home, Elizabeth conceived. Luke 1:23 to 24. Now, assuming that John's conception took place near the end of June, adding 9 months brings it to the end of March, as most likely the time of John's birth. Add another 6 months, difference in ages between John and Jesus, brings us to the end of September as a likely time of Jesus' birth. But you know, really? Nobody really knows. It could have been in December. They don't really know whether it's 2 or 3 years before 33, don't know. They don't know what year, really. Nobody knows, really. Well, because they had the sheep out. In wintertime, they put them away. Well, yes, but sometimes no. Not always. What am I saying here? If God wanted us, as Jesus wanted us to celebrate his birthday, there would be no question. It'd be in the scripture. That's the point. Whether it's in September, whether it's October, whether it's November, December, but nobody really knows exactly. We just kind of figured out. Jeremiah 10 has very interesting scripture. Let's listen to Jeremiah 10. Listen to it very carefully concerning a Christmas tree.
Jeremiah 10. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workman, and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt, my wound is grievous. But I said, truly this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent any more, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate, and a den of dragons. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate.
Quite interesting. Jeremiah 10. That in itself is a study. Colossians 2, 16 and 17 is where we are tonight. Actually, we'll go before that. Colossians 2. Okay. In 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. In other words, unlike what Joyce Myers says, that Jesus went to hell and was beat upon, stepped on, crashed in, beat up by the demons, that scripture right there proves them wrong. That means they're not guided by God by no step of the imagination. No way possible. And they're all Freemasons and Eastern Stars. So no wonder. Right there it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He arose from death. He wasn't punished in hell. Because he's innocent. It's only God that turned away. That made the sky turn dark. And the earthquake happened. The family, no blood, slipped through the cracks and fell upon an ark under the mountain of skulls. Ron Wyatt is wrong. But that's going to be used with a shroud to prove the Antichrist is DNA. Yeah, that's another story. I think Ron Wyatt probably meant well. I think he was used by the fallen angels. I think he was channeled when he found the ark in that trash dump. But it doesn't have Jesus' blood on it. Not the Jesus of Nazareth. Ron Wyatt. In Colossians 2:16 is our focus tonight. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the noon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding to those things which have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. The warning is not to worship these fallen angels. And that's what is the holidays today. And days of the week. And days of the month. Are all based on the fallen angels. And worship of the planets. Which is where the fallen angels reside. In their exile from heaven. In the supernatural form. There's your so-called aliens. In Romans 14, verse 5, one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. How much more clear can you get? Colossians 2, 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit and traditions of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Deuteronomy 12, 29, 32. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whether thou goest to possess them, whether thou succeedest them, or dwelleth in their land, take heed to therefore that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord, which he hath, and which he hateth, have they gone to their God. For even their sons and daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereunto, nor diminish from it. Brings us to Colossians back again. You know, Paul, who wrote Colossians, he goes on to describe in 2:14, for example. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and was taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, handwriting requirements that was against us. What does there, it describes the law. And in a sense, the Ten Commandments were against us condemning us because we did not keep them perfectly. But the Apostle Paul is thinking not only about the Ten Commandments, but also about the ceremonial law that's given to Israel that they had to follow, not to the Gentiles, but to Israel. And the ceremonial laws, there are all kinds of commandments that regard the holy days and foods and other type of religious rituals and so forth to keep them under control. And they were all a part of a kind of prescribed religion of the Jews. But what they did, they pointed forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus, though. Is that not what the sacrifice of animals was about? There were shadows of his person and his work. And you know, in his death on the cross, he took all that out of the way. He nailed it to the cross. He kind of canceled it as a bill. It's canceled when the debt's paid off. Theologian Meyer, he put it, by the death of Christ on the cross, the law which condemned men lost its penal authority. Inasmuch as Christ, by his death, endured for man, the curse of the law became the end of the law. So, Kelly, another theologian, he summarized real neatly. He said, the law is not dead, but we've died to it. Because Jesus fulfilled it. And Paul's language is, well, when you look at it from the scriptures, it's likely refers to an ancient practice of nailing the written evidence of a canceled debt in a public place. And that's the service of notice to all that the creditor had no more claim on the debtor. So, by the death of Jesus on the cross, his follow-up resurrection make an open show to Satan that he had lost. And then the ascension up to the right hand of the Father. Our Lord Jesus conquered evil powers. He made a public spectacle openly, even in front of 500 people at once, up he went. It wasn't even in a UFO. Go to Ephesians 4. Talks about the same triumph. When the Lord Jesus is said to have led captivity captive. So his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. It was a triumph over all the hosts of hell. And of Satan. A big surprise, you know. He passed up through the atmosphere. On his way back to heaven, he passed through the very domain of the one who's the prince of the power of the air. Do you understand that? Do you understand when he passed through the atmosphere on his way back to heaven? He passed through untouched through the very domain. Do you understand that? The second heaven. You see, earth is the first heaven. It's physical. The frequency vibration of atoms, molecules, are in the same variance range that we all can interact with everything on earth. Because the frequency vibration range is based on exactly 186,000 miles per second. Like ice cube. A certain range of molecule vibration makes it ice cube. To go to water, you use energy. Increased energy makes the ice cube melt. Increased energy of the body. See, Jesus can change his body to another frequency vibration and go out in space on his way to the third heaven. See, the second heaven is the known universe. And it ends at the waters where God divided the waters. So he went through the second heaven. And they got to watch him. They got to see him go. And they can't touch him. Do you not remember when Daniel was praying for an angel? And when the angel got there 2 weeks later, the angel told Daniel that he had to fight his way through. He had to call on Michael, the archangel, to help him fight through to answer the prayer of Daniel. That's what that means. It's like an egg surrounded by a baseball, surrounded by a basketball. So, when you're physical, Ice Cube, God increased his energy. I don't want to get into too much alchemy about this, but I'm talking physics. He changed his body structure. Changed frequency, vibration, and the molecules to become like water, second heaven. And then to go past that, that the angels can't do, he went to third heaven by changing his particles even more to go through the water. Fallen angels can't do that. They've reached their limit. That's why they're stuck in the known universe. They can go down, but they can't go up with frequency vibration. You see what I mean? They have to change their frequency vibration to a higher level to be able to get out of the known universe and get back to heaven. But they can't do that. God won't let them. So on his way back to heaven, he left the known physical world in a cloud. He passed through the very domain of the one who's a prince of the power of the air. Went right through him. They couldn't touch him. And you know that this verse in 2:15, it could very well carry a special comfort for you all that have been converted from demonism, witchcraft, or whatever maybe life you've had, or somebody who might have been obsessed with the fear of evil spirits, that there's nothing to fear if you are in Christ, because he's disarmed principalities and powers. If he can do it, he can do it for you. But you've got to have faith. Which brings us to Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. Now that last one, 2:15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He went to the area around hell, but in Abraham's bosom, for the 3 days he was gone, in the grave. He went to Abraham's bosom before Mary saw him. Supernaturally, preached to the Old Testament saints that had been sacrificing animals for their salvation, knowing very well is for a shadow of what was to come. It was anticipation of the coming Messiah, but the sacrifices of animals back then, before Jeremiah, did not save them and allow them to go to heaven, because Jesus had not made his sacrifice yet. So when he made the sacrifice official, it is finished. He went to Abraham's bosom. It was vacated and moved to heaven. And no longer existed. The ones in hell could see. The scriptures talk about that. And yelling and screaming. But alas, they were in hell. But those Old Testament saints were in Abraham's bosom. They could then go to heaven once and for all. Then Mary saw him. Then the disciples saw them. Then Thomas saw him. And, a lot of people saw him. 500 saw him ascend. And when he ascended, that's when he went through the second heaven on his way to the third heaven, set on the right hand of the Father. Very interesting. You won't find almost any of this written down. It's an accumulation of places written down. Some not. Some different places. It won't be one place. It's things I put together and learned along the way. Matthew 2:16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days. When you bring that up for those who say the Sabbath is still on the Saturday, nope, the Sabbath is on the Sunday, and they'll argue that just like they do about the rapture. And you read them this one, 2:16, they look at you kind of funny. And they just completely ignore you said it. Every single time. They will never address this scripture. I've never seen it done. They'll throw something else at you. To keep you thinking. To keep you off track. But they'll never answer that scripture. Ever. So here once again, Apostle Paul is ready to make the application of what you've just been stating. Because you kind of summarize the as follows, that the Colossians died in all efforts to please God by the flesh. Is that not what Cain did? They had not only died, but they had been buried with Christ, had risen with Christ to a new kind of life, though. Therefore, they should be done forever with the Judaizers, Judea, Judaism, and the Gnostics. They're trying to draw them back to their very things that which the Colossians had died to. So that no man judge you in food or in drink, or in regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. See, all human religions place men under bondage, and this to ordinances and rules and regulations, a religious calendar. And that calendar includes annual observances, holy days, monthly festivals, days to worship Satan on October. Churches have their haunted houses in the basement. Your monthly festivals, new moons, weekly holidays, Sabbath. The expression, therefore, let no man judge you. It means that a Christian cannot be justly condemned by others, if, for example, he eats pork, yum, 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 or if he fails to observe religious festivals or holy days. You know, you got some false cults out there, such as Spiritism. They insist on their members abstaining from meats. Why? You know the Roman Catholics? For centuries, not supposed to eat meat on Friday. A lot of churches require abstinence from certain foods during Lent. Now, fasting's different. But others, like the Mormons, they say that a person cannot be a member in good standing if he drinks tea or coffee. I remember when I was a child, I had a family member or two that had visitors from Mormons. I'll never forget, it sticks in my mind right now anyway, no real big reason why, it just does. The Mormons came to the house, and I was like 8 or 9 or 7. And I remember them saying, you drink tea? I said, uh-huh. So, well, you know what does, you see the shoe polish your shoes? Yeah? It's what does your stomach. I remember telling me this. I'm like, huh? Others, notably the Seventh-day Adventists, insist that a person has got to keep the Sabbath in order to please God. You know, yell, scream, and jump up and down like Dennis the Menace that lost his dog. If you worship on Sunday. Well, Saturday is worshiping Saturn, Satan. Yeah, buddy. And Sunday, God Ra. Now, if you all agree on a day that you want to you know, that's okay. Whatever day it is, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. As long as you have a Sabbath during that week, but any day is okay. The Christian is not under these ordinances. The Gentile is not under these ordinances. If you go to Matthew 5:18, see, they want you to believe that you got to do it Sabbath. You know why? Control, you know, that kind of thing. But to get all together, and we got your money, baby. And we want to be able to, since we're a 501c3 church, and we're preaching out of the NIV Bible, we want you to be corrupted in your head so y'all come together on Sunday, or you're going to hell. And then the Seventh-day Adventists say, well, no, you go to, they actually say this, that you worship on Sunday, that's the mark of the beast. Well, that ain't right. Now, I challenge them every time on that. They just get mad and block you. Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. And Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Didn't abolish it. He fulfilled it. Matthew 12:8. For the Son of Man is Lord, even on the Sabbath day. There it is. Galatians 6:18. Galatians 6:18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So, Colossians tells you all about it. Makes you want to shout it. But you're a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. You see, the Jewish religious observances were a shadow of things yet to come. But the substance, the body, is Christ. And they were instituted in the Old Testament. And this as a pre-picture of what is yet to come. For example, the Sabbath was given as a type of a rest, which would be the portion of all who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that the Lord had come, why should men continue to be occupied with the shadows? No longer shadow is there. The shadow was fulfilled. It's the same as being occupied with a picture when the very person's picture is present. So it sits right there beside you. But you still got your darn picture in your hand, and you sit there and talk to the picture. Now, they're going to put you away. Yeah. So you put the picture down, you talk to the person, that's the same picture of the person next to you. Ah, there you go. You see what I mean? And we'll go to 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward is voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, openly, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Well, it's kind of difficult. It's kind of difficult to know the exact meaning of this verse. Because we're not fully acquainted, I'm not, with all the Gnostics taught. They've got a Gnostic Bible. I really will be, actually. I don't want to. Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Mary, Gospel of... You've got a whole thick Bible of the Gnostics. It definitely wasn't inspired by God. But it might mean, perhaps it might mean, that these people pretended to be so humble. They wouldn't dare to approach God directly. The Gnostics taught that they must approach God through angels. So isn't that convenient? So in their supposed humility, they worship angels rather than the Lord. In the Catholic Church, you go through priests. Instead of Jesus. It's very similar to the world today, isn't it? There's Roman Catholics that say that they would not think of praying directly to God or to the Lord Jesus. So their motto is to Jesus through Mary. And this thing, silly thing called rosary. Family, the Roman Catholic Church created Islam. Islam's got the beads. Roman Catholics got the beads. New Age movement, the New Agers, they got the beads. Everybody's got the beads. TJ Maxx, they got beads too. Family, those beads won't do you a bit of good. Mary didn't die on the cross. She's a blessed woman. She's up there in heaven. But she's not to be worshipped. Seems to be false humility on the part and worshiping of a created being. Christians should not allow anyone to rob them of the reward by unscriptural practices. The word's clear. One mediator between God and man, that man is Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. So, Paul here, Apostle Paul, they don't like Paul, do they? No, he covered a lot of ground. He goes on with the obscure expression, intruding into those things which he has not seen. So these Gnostics, they profess to have a deep secret mysteries and all that stuff. And you got to have that in order to learn what the mysteries were. Separated by degrees. A person had to be initiated. Doesn't that sound familiar? To be initiated by Satan. And visions. They did. Indians did it. Peyote. Smoking peace pipe. Sweat lodges. There you go. Shamanism. Zoroastrianism. All that's part of it. You know, supposed visions are an important element in such heresies as Mormonism, Spiritism, Catholicism, Swedenborgianism, 18th century. Christianity, almost everything is corrupted in one way. Jesus is not about Christianity at all. Jesus is not about a religion. Those who are members of the inner circle were proud of their secret knowledge. That's how they hooked people in. You're now the degree of Grand Pontiff, la-di-da-da, whatever. So they get vainly puffed up by the fleshly mind in those little aprons they got, little ding-a-ling things. Take a superior attitude toward others. They create the impression that one be happy only through entering the deep secrets. You know something nobody else knows. You know, much of while this is characteristic of the secret fraternity, the organizations today, Christians who walk in a fellowship with God through the Lord have no time nor sympathy for these organizations. Freemasons, get out of there. They're lying to you. The first 3 degrees. You're being lied to massively. And they're good at it. Because once you go inside the lodge, once you enter the lodge, you're engulfed. You're cursed. Literally. You can feel it. The important point to notice in this verse 18 is that the different religious practices of these men were performed according to their own will. There's no scriptural authority at all. They even have their own Bible. They call it King James, but it's manipulated. They don't act in subjection to Christ They say you're entering darkness into the light. They're puffed up by the mind of the flesh because they're doing exactly what they themselves want to do. Independence from the Lord. Yet the conduct appeared to be humble and religious, and it's not. Is anything wrong with worshiping on Saturday? No, nothing wrong with it. We should worship God every day, not just on Saturday or Sunday. A lot of churches today have both Saturday and Sunday services. It's a freedom in Christ. I may talk some more about this tomorrow, part two. I don't think I've covered it entirely. I think I need to talk more about it tomorrow. I'll close it up tomorrow night a little bit more, and I'll hit something else. But I need to talk more about it because we got holidays coming up, and I got a whole lot more to say about it. I covered a lot of ground tonight, though. I hope it keeps you thinking. If you've got any comments, let me know. John 5:15-18. John 5. And we'll close up here. 15-18. The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hereto, and I work. Oh. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Huh. Boy, he must have had them jumping around like Mexican jumping beans. Like a worm on a hot plate. He had him going, didn't he? Still does. That's why they don't get rid of the King James Bible. Because he's still speaking through it. And they don't like it. Not one little old itsy bitsy bit. They don't like it at all. We'll talk more about this tomorrow night. And need to cover this tomorrow night. Yeah, I can see that. Family will close up. And I hope you got some out of it tonight. I will talk more about this week. I'll eventually focus in on directly with Christmas. Is anything wrong with helping people on Christmas? No. Anything wrong with giving a gift to someone? No. But myself, I don't do all the tree stuff and the parties and all that sort of thing. I just don't do those. Have no desire to, really. I don't never say Merry Christmas because I know what it's about. I say Happy Holidays. Have someone say, oh, you're one of those. What? One of those what? I know what they meant. We'll close. Lord, thank you tonight for this Bible study. Father, to guide us this week, give us words, opportunities, divine appointments that we can spread the gospel. Father, we need your Holy Spirit. Touch family members. Touch ourselves, Lord, to guide us with patience. The Lord knows today we need it. To take away that thought of suicide from those who've been contemplating it. To render null and void the effects of these drugs that are being given of children and vets. And Father, we know the veil is thinning. We pray for protection through the full armor of God. And Father, to use us in these days when that time comes. We ask you, Lord, to open up the eyes of these, of those that don't see. And to bring out your watchmen. Lord, to bring the truth. Holy Spirit, to open up the hearts. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, that concludes. And we're going to close out. So, thank you all for coming by. Remind you that we are played randomly on another network as well by John Kirkler, highpointradio.net. And he has sponsors up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. So get in touch with him there or go to his website, find those sponsors out, see if you can use any of them. My website is watchforforjesus.com, and my Facebook is watchforforjesus. Y'all have a good night, and God bless. And know that only in Christ are you saved. There is no other way. Have a good night, and God bless y'all.
From the grave.